For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
The unsurpassed profound and wondrous Dharma is rarely met with even 100,000,000,000 kalpas. Now I can see and hear it, accept and
good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I want to talk this morning and this weekend about a koan case, a story from the great master Yunmen, who lived in the 900s. And Angie, could you pass out those? Just pass them around. There's two different handouts. One of them is case 14, Yunmen's appropriate statement, and one is case 15, Yunmen's upside down statement. And you may not get too much of the second one today. Usually during session, the guidelines are not to read, and you can ignore these. You don't have to look at these at all, but if you would like on the break to look at this, we'll be studying this material together this weekend, so you're welcome to look at these two cases. Could you pass them around? And actually leave a couple for Asian. Yunmen lived in the 900s, as I said, and was founder of one of the five main lineages in China and Shan. And just to say, for those of you who are not familiar with our approach to koans here, most of the time in our country when people talk about koan practice, they refer to this one style, which is to pass through koans in consultation with the teacher and to give some correct response and so forth, and with a curriculum of hundreds of them. In the Soto tradition, in Dogen's tradition, we have more of the panoramic approach, just using these teaching stories as some way of informing our practice. So we're going to look at this weekend, and we'll see together what comes up. But the first story, the main story that I want to talk about, Yunmen is particularly noted for very short responses, usually very short stories. So the case itself is, a monk asked Yunmen, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? Yunmen said, an appropriate statement. So, and then in the beginning of the commentary, the commentator to the Wycliffe record is named Yuan Wu. He says, members of the Chan family, if you want to know the meaning of Buddha nature, you must observe times and seasons, causes and conditions. This is called the special transmission outside the teachings, the soul transmission of the mind seal, directly pointing to the human mind for the perception of nature and realization of Buddhahood. So, What is the teaching of a whole lifetime? An appropriate statement. So one level of this just refers to the teaching and practice of skillful means. One of the practices of compassion in the Bodhisattva practice. So teachings are directed to particular beings in particular situations. It's not like there's one dogma that, you know, one size fits all. And you know, in some ways this refers to the whole career of Shakyamuni Buddha, who taught for 45 years after his great awakening, how to meet different situations and different people. What is an appropriate statement? Or as I'll say a little more later, what is an appropriate response? So how do we meet the situation in front of us in this period of Zazen, you know, in this week, in this place and time, in this lifetime? And of course it's shifting, as everything is, but skillful means is about responding in a way that is particularly helpful, particularly useful to the people we're talking to. And so this partly, skillful means partly means recognizing differences. So this is an app, you know, one context for applying discriminative consciousness. How do we recognize different kinds of beings, different kinds of people with different needs? So an appropriate statement. What is the teaching of a whole lifetime? An appropriate statement. So on one level, this is referring to just the whole range of Shakyamuni Buddha's teaching and all of the different kinds of Buddhist teaching since then. You know, so there are libraries and libraries full of different teachings by the Buddha, by other Buddhist teachers. And you know, when the Buddhism came to China, this was very puzzling, as it is for us as Americans, how to make sense of all the different aspects of the teaching. Again, the point is that each one is useful for some people. So with koans, I don't, you know, try and go through some, you know, curriculum for everyone. These teaching stories are resources about our practice. And some of them may not do much for you, and others may, and you can spend some time and hang out and see how it informs your practice body. And you can come and respond to me, and we can discuss them. And we'll have some group discussion later this afternoon as well. But in Shakyamuni's case, in all his time of teaching, the great Chinese master Zhi Yi founded what's called the Tiantai School, and that became the Tendai School, very important in Japan. And he developed actually a number of different systems for classifying, and actually other Buddhist schools also developed systems of classifying the teachings in based on various ways. And one of them that this story, you know, this question this monk asks is a tricky, loaded question on lots of levels. But one reference to it is just that these five periods in the lifetime of Shakyamuni Buddha, according to Zhi Yi. And so this is kind of useful as a way of looking at the different aspects of the teaching. And I would say at the different aspects of our Zazen too, because they're all part of it. But the story about that is that when he first awakened, the Shakyamuni Buddha spoke the flower ornament sutra, the Avatamsaka, or Huayan in Chinese sutra, which is this vast, colorful, very psychedelic a description of bodhisattva activity, filled with all kinds of wonderful events and so forth. And this was his own experience, his own realization under the Bodhi tree. And some stories say he spoke this for 49 days. There's different versions of what happened. We don't have the DVDs of Buddha's teachings, so we don't really know. But anyway, at some point he realized that nobody, maybe there was somebody, I don't know, but nobody in India at that time could understand what the hell he was saying when he was speaking the Flower Ornament Sutra. And, you know, it's still pretty difficult. But, so he shifted, and he taught to his companions as he was practicing, noticed that something had happened, and they asked for his teaching. And so he taught more practical, accessible teachings, like the Five Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths. There's fours and fives, and there's the Eightfold Path, and all these basic Buddhist teachings, the Agamas they're called in China. And so the early Buddhist teaching was the second part. The third part, we're starting to introduce the Bodhisattva idea, so teachings like the Vimalakirti. And the fourth was the perfection of wisdom, like the Heart Sutra that we chant. Teachings about emptiness and how form is empty. And emptiness is form, in form. And then the fifth stage of his career, according to this idea, was the Lotus Sutra, towards the very end of his life. And also the Mahaparinirvana Sutra, which is finally just being translated into English. Anyway, so this is a system of classifying all of the different many Buddhist teachings, you know, and which was appropriate for who. And one of the ways to study these teachings, any bit of them, is to look and see, well, who would this be appropriate for? And in these teaching stories too, what is Yunmen, why is Yunmen saying this to this monk, and why is this monk asking this question? So these are not abstract philosophical positions. The Buddhist teaching is aimed at what is appropriate, what is helpful to you, and to each different being. So, you know, Zhuyi's founded the Tiantai school, which took the Lotus Sutra as the highest, and there were other schools that had their own systems of classifying the teachings, and they always took their favorite sutra as the highest of the various different aspects of the Buddhist teaching. So they were sort of hierarchical. Sort of in response to that, I wrote Faces of Compassion about the Bodhisattva archetypes, which is sort of a non-hierarchical way of seeing how at least the Mahayana teachings fit together, the Bodhisattva of wisdom and compassion, and the seven major Bodhisattvas in East Asia. Anyway, you know, there's this basic question. We might have something like this monk's question. What is an appropriate teaching? He asked, what is an appropriate statement? I don't know the exact Chinese character, but translates as statement, but it's also, what is the appropriate response? What is the appropriate teaching in each situation? So to recognize a particular situation is a kind of art. That is this practice of skillful means. However, it's also said commonly in Zen and in Mahayana that Shakyamuni Buddha, through his 45 years of teaching, never said a single word. So sometimes the appropriate response, the appropriate statement, might be silence. And when the question asks, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime, he's not asking Yunmen to, you know, define his whole career of teaching. Yunmen, there are many, many stories about Yunmen, almost, maybe more than almost any other classic Chan teacher. Maybe Zhaozhou has more, but lots and lots of stories about Yunmen. And so, you know, this monk wasn't saying, oh, well, tell me all of your teachings. What are the teachings of a lifetime? Means, what are the teachings of right now? How do we hear that siren going by? What's happening in your knees and your shoulders and your hips right now? How is this inhale? How is this exhale? What is the teaching of your whole lifetime? What is the joy? What is the meaning? What is the sadness? What is the insight and caring and kindness of a whole lifetime in this next period of zazen or in this next breath? So this is, these stories are challenges in a way. And a lot of the language around, a lot of the rhetoric in the commentary is this kind of Dharma combat stuff where they're trying to decide whether the monk or the student or the teacher, you know, had a better response. And, you know, I don't know, I find that rather boring. But what is, you know, what is the guts of our practice and teaching of a whole lifetime right now? So everything in your life, everybody you've ever known, is on your cushioner chair right now in some way. So this, in some ways, this question has to do with interconnectedness of in time. We maybe have a sense of interconnectedness in space as well. But so what's going on? What is the practice and meaning and expression of your whole lifetime? And Yunmen just said an appropriate statement. So, you know, Dongshan, the Chinese Soto founder, asked his teacher as he was about to leave, "Well, if somebody asks me, what was your teaching, what would you say?" It's a little bit of a similar question. And Yunyan just paused and after a while said, "Just this is it." So there's lots to say about that too. My next book is just about that response. But an appropriate statement, Yunmen said. And again, this isn't just about talking, although it is about that. So there's some commentaries on this question of questions and statements on page 96. In this case, Yuan Wu quotes an ancient, he doesn't mention his name, "If you want to attain intimacy, don't use a question to ask a question. The question is in the answer, and the answer is in the point of the question." So what's going on with these questions and answers? Who's asking what to who, and how? What is the response there? To attain intimacy, to really know yourself and each other, don't use a question to ask a question. The question is in the answer, and the answer is in the point of the question. So also it's said sometimes that statements can be a question. And questions can be a statement, an utterance. So how, you know, what is this appropriate statement? Again, it could be silent, like Buddha not saying a single word. Yuan Wu goes on to comment, "Of course it's solitary and steep, but tell me, where is it that it's solitary and steep? No one on earth can do anything about it." So, you know, we have this chance to sit, some of you for today, some of you for 3 days. As we sit, we can settle into this intimacy, this tenderness, this rawness of our experience. We can feel the next breath as a whole lifetime. we become sensitized or tenderized to appreciate each breath, to appreciate the tension in our knee or our back or wherever. He repeats this statement about intimate understanding and questions and answers in the next case, in the upside down statement, and comments, since when have the sages from past times ever had anything to give to people? So, you know, there's some idea that, oh, I'm going to go find a teacher and he'll tell me that, you know, or she'll tell me, you know, what I need to know. I get that less than I used to, where people come and like they want to know what to do, you know, and they have, sometimes people have a choice to make in their life. Always we have a choice to make in our life, actually. Many choices to make in our life, but sometimes they, you know, should I take this job or that job? Should I stay with my partner or break up? You know, all kinds of questions come up. And usually there's this idea that there's one or the other is the right thing. And then the corollary, you know, that he's addressing here, I guess it happened in China too, although I sometimes associate it with our Western Judeo-Christian sense of things, is that there's somebody up there in a long white robe and long white beard, sometimes it's, who knows the answer. Or somebody knows the answer, some guru on a mountaintop or something. And if I could only get do the right thing, you know, then I make the right choice, then everything would be fine. But actually, this intimacy is about, there's always a question, and there's always some statement, and there's always this silence. And there's never just two choices. And all of them might be correct. All of them might be interesting and useful and lead to something wonderful. And all of them might be terrible. All of them might, you know, create problems, and probably both. So, okay. So when he asks what is an appropriate statement, it's not just about some verbal utterance. What is an appropriate response? How do we respond to the situation, this situation? Your life, your causes and conditions, you know, your karma, all the problems and causes and conditions and times and seasons that are happening for you this week. So this question, what is an appropriate statement, I like to turn it to, what is an appropriate response? How do we respond to the difficulties and the joys of the world? And I've been talking a lot about, you know, how do we find some helpful response to difficulties in the world, like climate damage and racism and all of the terrible things that are the inequalities and all of the injustices in our society the way women are mistreated and what's happening in our politics and all of that. What's an appropriate response? And this is what Yunmen is pointing us to. What is your appropriate response? So I think this story in some fundamental way is about Buddhist ethics. So I want to talk about it a little bit in those terms. This is a story about the precepts. What are the teachings of your whole lifetime? An appropriate statement, an appropriate response. So the story that follows this right immediately in the Blue Cliff Record, case 15, which you also have. And again, you don't need to look at all of these words about these stories, but you're welcome to if you want to. A monk asked Yunmen, when it's not the present intellect or the present discriminations and reasoning and calculation, and it's not the present phenomenon, what is it? So again, this goes with this appropriate response. When it's not this present thought field, and it's not this present phenomenal situation, what is it? And Yunmen said, an upside down statement, or a topsy-turvy, or an inverted statement. So, on some level, bodhisattva precepts and ethics are not about guilt or evil or, you know, it's just, how do we act appropriately? What does that mean? Well, that's a huge koan right there, but what does it mean to act? So our precepts include things like disciple of Buddha does not kill, to not harm, but to support life. Well, how do we do that appropriately in each situation? And, you know, people have various responses to that. But what's the appropriate response here, now, for you? Disciple of Buddha does not take what is not given. Disciple of Buddha does not lie. Disciple of Buddha does not misuse sexuality. Disciple of Buddha does not praise self at the expense of others or discuss others in terms of their faults and so forth. Disciple of Buddha does not hold on to anger. All of these bodhisattva precepts are ways of healing upside-down statements or upside-down thinking or upside-down activities. So in the Jewel Mirror Samadhi by Dongshan, which we studied earlier in the year, it says, the ancient sages grieved for them, those in suffering, and offered them the Dharma. Led by their inverted views, they take black for white. This is upside down statements or thinking. When inverted thinking stops, the affirming mind naturally accords. So, that would be one kind of description of what is an appropriate statement. The affirming mind, the mind that says yes to the situation we're in, that says yes to the other people involved, and that is willing to be present in the situation, however complicated it might be, or simple. And then there's a natural accord, there's a natural meeting, there's a way in which we meet each other and ourselves. So again, I think this story as a model for precepts is interesting. Again, it's not about you know, we don't have some force of evil, and there's not guilt in the way there is in the West in Buddhist ethics. Just to act appropriately, just to. And the one way to read the appropriate statement is to meet each other, to meet the other, to meet what is in front of you, in front of us. To actually be present with the discomfort in my knee, or, you know, when we have our meal later, to meet the person who's serving, to help the process of a ladle full of soup or whatever it is entering into your cup. And how do we cooperate? So one of the things we need in this world most now is a sense of cooperation, a sense of how we collaborate together, how we work together, you know, all the different kinds of people and beings who are actually interconnected, but we've developed a culture of competition and aggression and this kind of contesting. And so, okay, what is an appropriate response? How does each thing meet? So one way to translate an appropriate statement is the teaching meets each. How does the teaching meet each? So this is this appropriate response, this appropriate statement, or this appropriate question also has to do with our zazen. So this is the side of this that I want to emphasize, since we're having this opportunity this weekend to just sit for a while. And part of this, the stories about Yunmen, is that it's said that within one sentence of Yunmen, three sentences are bound to be present. So this has been described in various ways. Three aspects of each appropriate statement by Yunmen. And I want to suggest that these three aspects are a part of the are present in each period of zazen, or in each one of our practices. So it's an interesting teaching. So these three. First, there's the sentence or statement or response that encloses heaven and earth. Then the sentence that follows the waves, and finally the sentence that cuts off the myriad streams. So these three aspects of Yunmen's teaching are discussed in various places in the literature about Yunmen. And I think it's kind of interesting and useful. So there's a poetic description of these from one of Yunmen's disciples, these three. The first that that which encompasses or includes the whole world, like in the song on the grass hut, we'll chant later, where he says inside that the hut includes the entire world in Tempe Square. And then there's the cutting off the myriad streams, and then there's going along with the waves, following the waves, following the current. So here's a poetic description of them. Fundamental reality, fundamental emptiness, one form, one flavor. It is not that a subtle entity does not exist. It is not a matter for hesitating over. Clear and lucid, this contains the whole world. So I tend to emphasize this side of these three. And I think Yunmen's response to Dongshan, just this is it, kind of has that sense that everything in the entire world is right here in some way. Everything in your whole life is on your cushion or chair right now. And we can respond to appropriately from that place of including the entire world, including our whole life. So this is the aspect of a whole lifetime in this next breath. Next is a kind of classic meditation teaching, cutting off the myriad streams. It is fundamentally not a matter of interpretation or understanding. So sometimes people get really hung up on wanting to understand. Okay, you can do that, but it is fundamentally not a matter of interpretation or understanding. When you sum it all up, it's not worth a single letter. When myriad activities abruptly cease, this is cutting off the myriad streams. So this is not the aspect of meditation I usually emphasize, but it is an aspect of our practice, cutting through. The Bodhisattva of wisdom has this sword that can kill or give life. In each moment of zazen, with each breath, just cut through whatever babbling is going on
in your thought stream. Just this practice, I think, is not so helpful, because then we can get caught up in emptiness, or even the bliss of emptiness and non-attachment, and get attached to that. But as an aspect of your sitting, yeah, sometimes just so I usually say to let go of thoughts as they come up, but you can just sometimes we maybe more actively. Right now, what is this? And it's not so hard to get to cut off the myriad streams. Sustaining that is pretty difficult, to actually stay with that awareness. Because right away the third one comes up, following the waves. When you allow the presence of another, follow the sprouts to despise the ground, to see the ground. Understand the person by means of his words or her words. This is going along with the ripples, following the waves. So these are also three instructions that Yunmen is giving to teachers, three ways of responding, or to bodhisattvas, three ways of responding, to include the entire world, to cut off all the whatever. And then just to go along with all the waves, follow the stream. So this is a teaching about three kinds of statements, or three aspects of it. Said that each story, each statement, each brief response by Yunmen has all three of these in them. But you're welcome to try on how is your zazen also these three. Or to see, you know, how, what is now in terms of these three. To encapsulate and close. Accept the entire world here. To cut off the streams. Just stop. And then to follow the current. To just go along with what is happening. And, you know, let it go. So there are various permutations actually on these three, but there's a pretty good description of what are the aspects of just being present, just sitting. Upright, relaxed, here, now. And then to see that, I think even in following the precepts, there are these three. How do we respond to appropriately to whatever the situation is that we that is in front of us. Sometimes there's not much to do. Sometimes just silence, just sitting still, just cutting off the streams, and observing the difficulty we're having with a friend or some particular situation in the world or some friend who's having a hard time. Sometimes all you can do is just stop and watch. Sometimes you can go along with the waves and join that person or join that situation. Sometimes to see the whole world in each situation, to allow it to be an expression of everything. When you do that, some appropriate response may come up. What is the teaching of a whole lifetime? So there are many, so many stories about young men. There's one other one that I may, and there's a lot more material in these commentaries, but there's also the story that I'll maybe talk more about later this weekend. And this one is just young men speaking to his assembly. I don't ask you about before the 15th day. Try to say something about after the 15th day. So the 15th day is full moon in the traditional Chinese calendar. So this has lots of overtones. He's talking about the periods of the moon, the periods of the month, the season, time and season. He's also talking about our experience of awakeness and confusion as our practice wanes and waxes. But right at the peak, I don't ask you about before the full moon. Try to say something about after it. Nobody said anything, so Yunmen himself answered for everyone. Every day is a good day. I don't know if that's the same as saying every response is an appropriate response. We should consider that. I was saying before, that in Bodhisattva ethics, it's not about guilt or evil, but there, you know, we can do harm. So one of the basic Buddhist teachings, maybe from that second period, was just ahimsa, non-harming. But also that means, how do we help others to not harm? How do we help to heal the world, ourselves, our friends and family? So many of the people in this room are healers in various ways. And all of us, by doing this practice, are involved in this, finding what is appropriate, what is an appropriate response. And it changes. The ground is shifting under us. So we'll have some time for discussion this afternoon over tea, but if anybody has something they want to say or some appropriate response or comment or question or statement, now, please feel free. Dale is laughing. Anybody else? Question or comment? So when we go along with the waves, that aspect of the three, you know, everything is included. And at the same time, everything is cut off. So you might see how that is in your zazen. You're welcome to. You can, of course, you know, always you can just forget about everything I say. But, you know, you're welcome to consider this. So thank you all. We'll close with the four Bodhisattva vows on the next to last page of your transcript. Beings are